Today on Maine Calling, the city of Lewiston, a time of renewal. In 2023, Lewiston suffered a terrible blow as the scene of Maine's worst ever mass shooting. The people of Lewiston came together in a powerful way after that. In the 3 years since, the city has not just proved to be resilient, but also has grown in population and in construction. There are several new projects, including a cultural museum, a community center, and a wave of new housing. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we talk with some of the people at the heart of Lewiston's renewal. What's happening there? What are their hopes for Maine's second largest city? And how is the city remembering that horrible day in 2023? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Lewiston is unfortunately not always associated with good news, but today we are shining a light on what's happening in Maine's second largest city that is positive. Joining me to talk about the recent sense of renewal in Lewiston are Rachel Ferrante, who is Executive Director of the Maine Mill, which stands for Museum of Innovation, Learning, and Labor, Brian Kainrath, City Administrator for the City of Lewiston, and Simon Hebert, Chief Operating Officer for Hebert Construction. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you live in Lewiston? Have you been there lately? What do you want to say about where the city is today and what you hope for it tomorrow? You can send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, post on Facebook or Instagram, or of course, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us today. And Brian, I'll start with you. It is an unavoidable fact that Lewiston is now famous for being the site of the state's worst mass shooting almost 3 years ago. But in the wake of that terrible event, we've heard a lot about how resilient the Lewiston community has been and that the city has moved forward with strength. Is it fair to say that these few years have been a time of growth and rejuvenation in Lewiston?
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. And, you know, you said it, you know, at the outset, Lewiston isn't a place that's always, you know, associated with good or positive news. And we deal with a lot of tough issues here. And certainly the last few years have been very tough for the city of Lewiston. But, you know, I will say, you know, I've been here in this position for just over a year now. And I've never seen a community with more grit and more resilience than the city of Lewiston. And I would put that up against, you know, other cities and towns in the state of Maine and nationally. And there's also, you know, really a sense of momentum here, too, that gets drowned out sometimes by some of the, you know, the tough news stories we have. But there are a lot of great things, you know, happening here. I think we're going to talk about them more, you know, in the hour ahead. But we do have a lot of momentum. The opening of the Maine Mill Museum, which we're going to talk about this week, is huge for us. But I'll just highlight a couple other quick things that many people don't always realize is, you know, we have over 1,300 new housing units coming online within a 5 to 10 minute walk of our downtown over the next 4 years. The Bates Mill complex redevelopment has been huge. We're talking about a complex of over a million square feet. We have an increasing school enrollment in our school system, one of the few larger districts around the state with an increasing enrollment with over 40 languages spoken in our school system. So there's a lot of incredible things happening here. And, you know, we deal with a lot of tough issues, too. Certainly the public safety piece is something we're grappling with. But it's important for people to realize that there's a whole lot of positive things happening here. We have a lot of momentum we're building on for the future. And I think the next, you know, 3 to 5 years for the city, we're really going to see some major changes here. And I hope people will come and experience those with us.
And Brian, I know that Lewiston has seen population growth. I'm seeing a statistic here, almost 5% since 2020. Mm-hmm. Who's moving to Lewiston?
Yeah, and then first of all, with that stat, also we're one of the youngest cities in the state, and Maine is the oldest state in the country, but we are leading in one of the younger populations. But you know, Lewiston has always been a place for industry and for immigrants for a long time, going back to the Irish and the French Canadians. And today, you know, we have a lot of new Mainers coming for sure. You know, the Somalis led that 25 years ago. We're now seeing a large Angolan population, Congolese, many others. So we are a melting pot right in the middle of central Maine. We continue to be a place for immigrants, but we have a lot of people from around the state, you know, also moving to Lewiston. And you know, when you think about Lewiston, it's interesting where we're just 35 or 40 minutes from Portland up 95, but you can purchase a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house for half the price here that you can in Portland. And so we do have some affordability to offer also for those that are maybe currently in Maine and looking for other places that may be more affordable. And so for
Well,
some of those urban pioneers out there, I think we may be the next place.
and Rachel, Brian already dropped the hint that you have a big weekend coming up. Tell me about, tell us, for those in our audience who don't know about the your museum, the Maine Mill, tell us what it is all about and tell us about your new home.
Sure. So thanks for having me. Maine Mill is a history and culture museum. We were founded about 25 years ago. Some people may be more familiar with us through our old name, Museum LA. We changed our name a couple of years ago to be more representative of the stories that we tell. And we purchased another former mill building, the Camden Yarns Mill, right at the edge of Samard Payne Park and the Androscoggin River in 2009. And it has always been the museum and this community's dream and vision to have a purpose-built standalone museum facility that is, you know, representative of all of those stories that Brian just mentioned. And so this weekend, June 27th, 28th, is our grand opening weekend in our new home. So the ribbon cutting is at 10:30 on Saturday morning, and everybody's welcome to join us. We're free for the weekend. There's some special programming happening on Sunday. And it's really the culmination of, you know, a community vision over the last 15 years that is finally becoming reality.
Okay, Simon, you are part of a wave of construction and renovation in Lewiston. Tell us about some of the most recent projects you've been involved in and some that you're just most excited about.
Yeah, so Heber Construction is a Lewiston-based contractor. We've been in, you know, called Lewiston our home for the last 83 years. And having been full time with the organization for 14 years now, I haven't seen as strong of a wave of development in our community as I have over the last, call it 2 to 3 years. We've been fortunate to be a part of the relocation and redevelopment for the Lewiston Police Station, just 1,000 feet from our office. We developed the Picker House Lofts apartment building, which brought 72. 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units of much needed housing to our community within the former Continental Mill building. We helped Trinity Jubilee relocate and provide expanded services for our local community. They opened their doors at the start of the year. And we were fortunate to be on a 2-year-long block redevelopment project in partnership with Avesta Housing and Lewiston Housing Authority, which brought 8 new buildings. A family townhome style construction, as well as a historic rehabilitation of a 9th building, the former Wedgwood block of the Milton Wedgwood House, and those are just the projects we've done. And we have more projects in the pipeline within the community. Penobscot Builders is doing the DeWitt Phase 2 building of our choice projects, and there's certainly more in the pipeline. So it's great to see the level of investment and interest and positivity and that's being injected into the community. And it's certainly up to us now to maintain that momentum and to continue to build on, you know, we've provided safe housing. You know, there's new schools, both with Connors and the new high school over in Auburn. Rachel's new facility brings a wonderful, you know, artistic and institutional place for learning that Lewiston didn't necessarily have previously. So it's there's a lot of positivity and momentum here, and it's been great to be a part of.
Well, let me ask you this, Simon, because on Maine Calling, we've been for about 3 years now really digging deep into the housing crisis in Maine and hearing about all of the challenges that communities are having in building more housing, all of the roadblocks. What makes, in your view, Lewiston different? Why has Lewiston been able to create so much new housing? How come you as a builder is having better luck than many of the others around the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, the city itself plays a big part in that. And both in code enforcement and in planning, the city has been an advocate for streamlining a process that can get a concept from, you know, just an idea to shovels in the ground quickly and efficiently. So the city remains a big advocate for that on the planning side of things. Lewiston has historically always been a community of, enriched and enrooted within the trades. So we have a lot of good plumbers, a lot of good electrical outfits, Heber Construction, we've been in the community for forever. There's maybe some of it is pride in being able to build in the community that you live in and service. Lewiston also attracts favorable, financing opportunities that make, projects that might otherwise be unaffordable, affordable. With navigating land acquisition costs or finding creative ways to finance a project. We've been very successful in making that happen.
All right. And Brian, you talked about all the housing units that have come online in the last few years. What are we looking at in the next few years? What's in the pipeline?
Yeah. So as I said, we have over in the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years, approximately 1,300 more units coming online. Again, really concentrate around the downtown area. And that's at a number of different levels. It ranges from market rate to many other levels of area median income. And there's a number of Lewiston Housing Authority projects also that are mixed use that have retail on the ground floor. So when we look at that and we talk about downtown revitalization also, for example, the foot traffic is really important. With COVID, with remote work, we've lost some of our daytime population, as many cities around Maine, around the country have. And so we're really seeing some of this residential infill and development downtown as a way to bring back foot traffic, get more people into downtown, which we think will really also encourage downtown revitalization where we're making some other strides.
Rachel, I want to talk about the museum and its role after the shooting. I know that you felt personally and the people who you work with felt personally about responding to this terrible tragedy in a meaningful way. Tell us about some of the things you did and how you think it's led to where you are right now.
Sure. So, as I said, the museum is about the history and culture of this city and this region. And that extrapolates out to the state. And unfortunately, the shootings of October 25th, 2023 are an important part of Lewiston's history. And so we felt a responsibility as the Community History Museum to find a way to preserve that history. So we collected all of the memorial items that were left outside of both the bowling alley and the bar and around the city of Lewiston. That has now amounted to about 2,000 objects, all of which have been photographed and archived and stored inside our museum. We collected oral histories. So prior to October 25th, we had a large oral history repository, about 300 stories of primarily textile, shoe, and brick workers of the region. We've now added stories from victim family members, survivors, first responders, community leaders. Again, thinking that those stories are important to preserve because what happened is a part of our history. And then we've created a permanent memorial room both in our now former location as well as in our new location. and timed yearly for the commemorations. We've created exhibits with artists using some of the memorial items that we preserved. So the first year we worked with an Auburn-based artist, Tanya Hollander, and Mia Zellner, who's a member of the deaf community, to create 261 flower sleeves using the plastic flower sleeves that were left at the site. Timed for the two-year commemoration, we worked with artist Ian Trask using the bowling balls and the pool balls in a show called Familiar Faces. And then when we open in our new space, we have both the doors that were original to the bowling alley and one of the light fixtures that hung over one of the pool tables at Schmangi's, as well as some of the pumpkins that lined the bowling alley after the shootings that have been incredibly reproduced through 3D printing and an incredible artist, Selena Powell, who painted them. They are staggeringly real. And so that is something we have committed to continuing to do and change what those exhibits look like on a yearly basis, because they are a part of our story. And we hope to be able to help reflect that back for the community in a way that provides some, you know, moments of reflection and possibly healing.
Well, coincidentally, we have a call right now from Justin Geray, owner of Just in Time Recreation. Hi, Justin. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us why are you calling? What do you want to say to Rachel?
I just wanted to say thank you for everything. And she gave me a sneak peek, and it's absolutely amazing. The whole building, the whole concept is awesome for this city, and the memorial is just, I mean, it's overwhelming in so many ways, but it's done with so much class and tact. And I look forward to people seeing it and just saying that the city of Lewiston rallied behind us and are still rallying behind us. And it's absolutely amazing what this city has done.
Justin, I'm so appreciative of you for calling in, and I want to ask you about this broader question we're discussing today, where Lewiston is today with not just the opening of the Mill Museum, but the new home for Trinity Jubilee and the police department and new housing. Do you feel as though, I don't want to put words in your mouth, how are you feeling about the city that is your home?
It's amazing. It's just seeing the growth and all the things that are happening. It makes me proud to be a part of it and to do business in the city of Lewiston with all the amazing people. It's great.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for calling in. Justin Geray, a surprise, wonderful call, the owner of Just in Time Recreation. Brian, I want to sort of, not to bring the whole thing down, but Lewiston still has challenges, you know, and especially this spring, a spate of shootings, gun violence. Tell us where we are in that. I know there were 10 shootings in April and early May and another scare this past weekend. Are we seeing a shift, or is this continue to be a really obstinate problem?
Yeah, so I mean, there's no question we're dealing with some significant challenges. And the interesting thing about Lewiston is we have, for a community of 39 or 40,000 in central Maine, we have some, you know, quote unquote kind of big city challenges, and the public safety piece is one of them. So, you know, the numbers, there's no secret, the numbers have been ticking up the last 5 years or so, with gun violence, particularly with our youth. It is a vexing issue. We are doing, you know, I want to tell the public, we are doing everything we can on this. But there are pieces of this that are beyond the control of a one city's police department, and in some of the things, the resources we have to work with. And so the one really troubling piece of this is, you know, most of these incidents are now involving, our youth as young as 13 years old. With firearms, and we've seen a consistent pattern of that. And so, you know, I want to give a lot of credit to the Lewiston Police Department, to our new chief, Carly Conley. And they're really trying to work with other community partners, with the DA's office and with others, to really get our hands around this issue that is a real challenge. And so, again, the most disturbing piece of this has just been, you know, the actors we're seeing in these events. We're talking about teenagers, and again, as young as 13 years old. And so I think it's going to take more than just the City of Lewiston Police Department to find our way forward with this challenge. And as I said, we're working with a whole host of community partners, nonprofits, DA's office, and other law enforcement agencies to really try to make some headway and make some progress on this. The last few weeks, you mentioned April. April was a pretty tough month for us. Things have moved a bit in the right direction through the rest of the spring as far as the number of events we're seeing. But it is certainly a challenge for the city. And I would say public safety is our number one challenge that also impacts many of our other priorities. When we talk about improving the city's image, all the housing development, economic development, downtown revitalization, public safety impacts our ability to make headway in all these other areas. So it's certainly our number one priority.
All right. Well, we are talking about the City of Lewiston. We're going to take a quick break, but we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. Today on the program, we're talking about the City of Lewiston. Almost 3 years after the worst mass shooting in Maine's history, and then just a few months after the ICE surge that really singled out the city. What is going on that's positive in the city? And there is a lot. My guest today, Brian Kainrath, the City of Lewiston Administrator, Simon Hebert, who is Chief Operating Officer with Hebert Construction, and Rachel Ferrante, Executive Director of the Maine Mill Museum. We invite you to join the conversation. Talk about what you think makes a city worth living in and what you hope to see for the Lewiston region. Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Ryan Adams. He and his creative partner and wife, Rachel, are the team behind a striking new mural in Lewiston. Ryan, thanks for giving us a call.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Where'd the idea for the mural come from?
So we were commissioned by LA Art. We started the conversation probably a little over a year ago. And we just, in our first talks about kind of what we wanted to do with the piece, I said I wanted to kind of talk to some community leaders and kind of understand the community a bit more. And we landed on kind of a pretty direct statement here, but it's a welcome immigrant mural is the title of it. And within the piece, it says, we arrived on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now, which is a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I think really resonates currently in this time. And that's kind of how it all came together.
So when was it unveiled?
So there's an official unveiling this Friday at 3 p.m. right on the corner of Lisbon and Ash Street. That's where the mural is located. We completed the mural about a week and a half ago. It took us about 3 weeks to get it done there.
Okay, so people have seen it. What kind of responses have you heard?
Oh my gosh, the responses have been overwhelmingly positive. We are mural painters, so we're very used to interacting with the community while we're working. And as things would progress every day, there would be more and more folks that stopped at the light and talked about how much they loved it. We spoke to folks who were in the apartments across the street who were really enjoying it. So overwhelmingly positive, which is just wonderful.
You said you're a mural painter, Ryan. You've been on Maine Calling before. Obviously, you believe deeply in the role of public art. What are you hoping that this mural does for the City of Lewiston?
Absolutely. I think so with public art and murals in particular, one of the things I love the most about them is that they're accessible to everyone. You don't have to know about it in a specific building, like it's out in the community and everyone can experience that. I hope that this mural kind of serves as a reminder that, we all come from different backgrounds, but there's such beauty in us coming together and making something new from that.
Well, congratulations, Ryan. So this Friday at 3 o'clock, you said, what is, since people can already see it, what can they expect this Friday?
Sure. Yep. So there'll be, I think we're going to be talking a little bit about the mural in detail, about the process, the thinking behind it. There'll also be some other speakers from the community and just overall, good time. Smiles and hugs.
Ryan Adams, thank you so much for calling in. He's part of the husband and wife team who created the new Welcome Immigrants mural in Lewiston. So thank you for calling in, Ryan. I'm going to go to some comments on Facebook. Katie writes, the art around town is awesome. The fire hydrants, to the electric boxes, to the murals, there's art everywhere. I love seeing the different pieces all over town. And let's see here, another positive one from D. Lee. Haters gonna hate, and people that surround themselves with negativity and only focus on the bad are going to see that. I'm a middle-class, young-ish professional that moved to LA for the affordable cost of living, and I love it here. I know many others are coming to the city from the Portland area. It is getting better, and people are moving here to buy affordable homes. This means a higher tax base and more money to be spent at local businesses. Things are only going to keep getting better. But we have some negative Facebook comments as well. Stacy writes, right, growing in crime, poverty, mental illness, and a lack of patriotism. Just want to paint a better picture of what's going on without covering it up with paint. And Sheldon writes on Facebook, growing number of state-dependent people, job opportunities going down. So, Brian, is that true? Are job opportunities going down?
You know, I try to take these comments and recognize and acknowledge our challenges, but also try to have some positive vision for the future. And I think we just saw that with some of those comments. So, you know, creating economic opportunity here is absolutely a priority. I know just the Bates Mill Complex redevelopment has created over 500, new jobs. So we are creating jobs here. We do have new firms coming into town. There is, I think, growing economic opportunity, but people are still right to complain. We're not saying everything is perfect. We certainly have a lot of issues we're grappling with. But we also have tremendous opportunity here. We have tremendous potential and tremendous momentum. And let me just say also, you know, the arts and culture piece, we're talking about Main Mill and the murals, is huge. We've had in the last few years a whole bunch of, you know, great murals go up in the city. LA Arts is doing a tremendous job downtown. We had our first busking festival this past spring called Lewiston Live, the first in the state of Maine. And so I think, you know, when you look at the arts, I think we're growing in that area also. And when we consider the city's redevelopment and future, I think the arts and culture are a major part of that, are going to be major economic drivers for the future. So I think, you know, just Rachel's Museum, when we talk about economic opportunity and jobs, we're creating, you know, right there also. So again, acknowledging the challenges we have, but also being visionary and optimistic about the future, because we do have a whole lot of positive to focus on too, but we can't ignore our challenges. So some of these commenters, they're right. And I see both sides of it.
Simon.
Yeah, I'll just add, you know, sometimes people don't look at construction projects as job generators, but looking at the projects that we do, the Wedgwood Block, you know, created or maintained over 365 jobs for working class individuals within our community. And all of the other projects I mentioned and the projects that are in the pipeline afford those same opportunities for local individuals. And, you know, bucking the trend of, you know, AI disruptor industries and whatnot, construction is a path for many individuals and many young professionals looking for a stable career, where we provide stable and well-paying jobs that provide, you know, 401k, healthy benefits, and a fulfilling path where you can drive by your finished product with your family and kids and say, mom or dad worked on that building, and leave a lasting impact on your community. So I do think, you know, construction is an area that has many opportunities within Lewiston at the moment and into the future that sometimes gets overlooked when looking at more traditional job opportunities. So I just wanted to add that.
Well, let me ask you this, Simon, as a construction company, you're part of the business community in Lewiston. And I'm wondering what the, you know, when you meet at Rotary Club or over coffee, what is it that people want to see more of in Lewiston, the Lewiston-Auburn area?
I think, you know, businesses that, you know, are more like, you know, like the Elmets or, you know, that have, you know, brick and mortar establishments. I think there's some people that would benefit from that or are looking for that. But I think, you know, just having the stimulus of construction, even though it's short term, is beneficial to the community, right? People buy lunches, people buy coffees at breaks, and there's other economic drivers that come with construction projects. But Brian mentioned earlier, a lot of what Lewiston Housing is doing is, you know, not only are these buildings we're provide housing, we're creating office space and retail space at ground level to further drive and grow the downtown community and to create, you know, business opportunities for people either that are long established within the community or people coming to Lewiston for that affordability, for that first start to cut their teeth on a new business. And, you know, we do a lot of work with John Belay in the economic side of the community. And he's doing an excellent job of really trying to find creative ways to make and attract businesses to here. So I think, you know, things are happening in the right directions, but, you know, change takes time. And, you know, I think I'm optimistic about the direction we're going.
All right. Rachel, if someone hasn't driven through Lewiston in 10 years, describe how it's different.
Oh, I think it's changed a lot. You know, I went to college here and then I did move away for about 10 or 12 years. And then I came back and the city looks very different. A lot has grown and changed and, you know, been revitalized, and that is continuing every day. You're hearing about a lot of those examples from Brian and Simon, I think. You know, and I'll just echo Brian's comments about the arts and culture piece. Obviously, that's the hat that I wear most often, but I do think it provides real pride of place for people in a way that some of those other industries don't. And so a place like Main Mill and some of the work that's happening through LA Arts and on Lisbon Street and elsewhere, you know, grounds people and gives them a sense of, I think, optimism and hope for the place they work, the place they live. I also just want to quickly note, like, what a big weekend this is between Ryan and Rachel's mural being celebrated and its art walk. And there's the Great Falls Brew Fest on Saturday and Main Mill's opening. I mean, that's a really good example of a great weekend in Lewiston with all of these things happening. There are a lot of positives all working together through, you know, public-private partnerships and sort of people all moving together in the right direction.
Well, if you live in Lewiston, if you care about Lewiston, we'd love to hear from you. What are you hoping for this city? What are you seeing there? What are we missing in our conversation? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send us a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org. Or if you're quick, you can post on Facebook or Instagram. We're talking about the city of Lewiston. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're learning about growth and renewal happening in Lewiston. Joining me, Simon Hebert of Hebert Construction, Rachel Ferrante of the Maine Mill, and Brian Kainrath with the City of Lewiston. Share your comments and questions. Send us a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566. Brian, before you said your highest priority right now is safety and bringing down the gun violence rate, I want to ask you about transportation. What would you like to see happen in terms of transportation opportunity in Lewiston? I know that the Maine Turnpike goes right by an exit there, but what would you like to see in the next 5 or 10 years?
I mean, in terms of transportation, you know, we do have a large population, especially in our downtown, that lack their own vehicles, and so they do rely on public transportation. I think looking for areas to expand public transportation, you know, the network and access is certainly a priority. When we say longer term, also, you know, we would love to see passenger rail in the Lewiston-Auburn area. That's a long-term, you know, vision. It's been discussed for quite a while, many efforts legislatively. But I think the more connected we are with Portland and places south and north, that's going to benefit the city. So certainly we'd like to see more connectivity out of town. You know, with Portland, we do have some public transportation that connects us to larger communities south of here, Portland. But we'd love to see more connectivity in that way. And I'm a big supporter of passenger rail. And so I think we're going to continue to endorse efforts to study and develop passenger rail that services Lewiston Auburn.
Are you hopeful that it will actually happen? I mean, it's been talked about for lots of decades now.
I think we always remain hopeful, but, you know, we endorsed a resolution this past session to support passenger rail, or the city, our city council did. We're going to continue to be advocates. I think it's going to take, obviously, a lot more work, but I don't think it's a dead issue, for sure. And I know there are many, many advocates out there that are strong on passenger rail, and the city of Lewiston would stand to benefit greatly with that progress. So we're going to continue to push on this.
All right. On the line with us now is Michael Colster. He is a professor of art at Bowdoin, and he's a photographer who has captured images of Lewiston over the years. Thanks for calling in, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell us why Lewiston and what kind of photographs you're taking.
Well, the why is interesting. My studio is in Lisbon Falls, so I'm about 11 miles from downtown Lewiston. So it's accessible. I really like going up there and spending time in Lewiston because I've become familiar with the city as a result of making photographs of the Androscoggin River in a previous project, and started to see some things about the city that were really interesting, that were in flux, that were changing. And it also, like the Androscoggin River, is harder to categorize. Androscoggin River was something that I thought of as being an industrial river, yet it was starting to be cleaned up and started to support life. And it was harder to understand whether it was a natural resource that had purity in it, or whether it was something that was fallen and hard to recover from. And it's kind of a combination of both those things. And I saw the city of Lewiston as being on a cusp or at a changing point as well. Harder to categorize. Is it a small town? Is it a big city? I used to live in New Haven and thought about New Haven as being a place that had all the disadvantages of a big city and all the disadvantages of a small town. I think about Lewiston as being a place where it has all the advantages of being a small town and all the advantages of being a bigger city. And so as I sort of went up there and made photographs, I thought about sort of jumping into the current or the river of Lewiston itself and seeing where it would take me. So the pictures that I make have a lot to do with just what I encounter, what I tend to notice. So that's architecture, it's street corners, it's different kinds of human expression that comes out as a result of studying place. Mm-hmm. And so less portraiture, though there are times where I'll run into people and take some of their pictures, but most of it is trying to get a feeling and an understanding for what the place offers, what I notice. Each time I go up there, sometimes I go up 4 or 5 times a week, go to the same spots, wander through the same areas, and notice completely different things, partly because it's a changing space, and also because my relationship to it changes each day that I go up.
Mm, I know that you've exhibited your images. They've been part of exhibits. What kind of response have you had to them?
Well, one of the exhibits, the most recent, was really wonderful to be part of. It was at the University of Southern Maine. Hillary Irons, the director there, is wonderful to work with. And we did a show with deaf artists. And it was a moment to acknowledge the second anniversary of the horrible events of the shootings down there. And the show featured deaf artists from around the world and locally, and also had some of my photographs from Lewiston to sort of give a little bit of, a context for the show and a direct acknowledgement of the loss that the deaf community experienced as a result of that horrible event 2 years ago up in Lewiston.
I'm wondering, Michael, as somebody who does not live in Lewiston but is there, as you said, 4 or 5 times a week, what kind of observations, what kind of conversations have you had with people? And do you feel as though there is change in the air? And is that change for the better?
Well, it seems to me that, I'll try to address the questions kind of in order. I see change, storefronts filling up along Lisbon Street, sometimes them swapping out and changing. I see, while I'm up there in the afternoons, groups of people walking to the mosque or coming back from the mosque. I see a whole range of different kinds of people interacting. My interactions with people up there, and this is very anecdotal, but generally speaking, and I photograph in lots of different places, lots of different cities. And in Lewiston, almost bar none, my interactions there have been incredibly positive. It's kind of funny, a lot of times when I'll set up a camera, and there are times I'm using the tripod, people worry, in Lewiston especially, they're so, I don't know, friendly in the sense that they worry that they're going to walk across my shot. Instead of, in something I actually encounter in other cities, people coming at me saying, what right do you think you have to make a picture? And so the sense that I'm there, I'm looking, I'm interacting, I'm photographing, is one that seems to be very welcomed by the people that are living there, and even the shopkeepers and things like that. So I love the anonymity in some ways that being in the larger city in Lewiston offers me, but I also really like the way that I've been allowed basically to work and look and make pictures with sort of open arms. My interactions are really, without exception, have been incredibly positive.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for calling in. Michael Colster is a Bowdoin professor and a photographer. We are going to move on to Portland. Who's Peter, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. My business partner and I are Lewiston landlords. Last summer, we bought a building at 199 Lisbon Street. It's a big brick building. It's a residential building with commercial space down below. And when we bought the building, there was like a design firm on the commercial side, and they ended up leaving. That was part of their lease was up, and you know, they had made it clear that they didn't really want to be in Lewiston anymore, which was kind of a bummer. My partner is a Lewiston native, and he kind of was kind of upset about that. And so we ended up finding a girl to rent out the commercial space who's started a company there called 83 & Co. It's a very cool art space where people can like rent out a booth to sell stuff that they either make or collect, vintage items, you know, homemade, handmade items. And she's really been doing well. She's been in there for a few months, and we always wanted a space on Lisbon Street that was going to help with foot traffic, not just another law firm or something like that, because there are a lot of them. You know, in our mind, Lisbon Street is one of the most beautiful downtown streets in the state of Maine. It's nice and wide. It's got great big sidewalks, beautiful architecture. So we're really happy that 83 & Co. is there, and just wanted to kind of plug them, and hopefully folks will go visit them. It's a really cool store, a lot of interesting stuff in there.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for calling. And I'm wondering, Simon, if there's anything you'd like to add to what Peter's saying about the architecture and the sense of place in Lewiston.
Yeah, I think obviously our mill history lends itself to wonderful, brick old buildings. I'm in one right now. And, you know, when we restored Picker House, I mean, there were things we were coming across that you just can't build today. I mean, the craftsmanship that existed within our community, looking at, you know, St. Peter and Paul's Basilica, all of the brick buildings, having Bates College, you know, all the history there. And then to walk down Lisbon Street and see all of the, you know, the 2 to 3 story brick buildings with wooden storefronts or mahogany storefronts that still exist. It's spectacular. And I just want to circle back to one thing Michael touched on, the prior caller, about just the pride and the respect that certain, you know, the majority of the Lewiston community has. Whenever we've done projects in Lewiston, and most recently we were a very big disruptor doing that block development, Wedgwood block, for 2 years. And every neighbor that directly abutted our job site and neighbors beyond that took great pride in what that project meant in bettering their community and the great space it was going to be providing. We never had any sort of vandalism or theft or anything that we run into in other communities. And additionally, like, we started to see through the duration of that project, you know, porches getting fixed up, houses getting fresh coats of paint, renovations, that people were just taking ownership of their own property and their own buildings, and seeing that ripple effect of pride was really encouraging and comforting to see.
Rachel.
I want to also echo Simon's comments about sort of the architecture of the place. I think one of the things that's really special about all of the brick buildings that are in Lewiston, those bricks were made here. You know, brick making is a major legacy industry of the region, and there are still brick making companies existing, making bricks today. So all of those bricks that we see around town were and are made here. And that's actually not true of most of the other major cities in Maine. Many of the most famous buildings in other cities in Maine, those bricks were also made in the Lewiston-Auburn region. And so those industries are still producing today. It's one of the great ways that, you know, we can all be proud of what's happening here.
Peter, thank you for your call. An email here from Miles. I'd like to see better promotion of opportunity for adults in Lewiston, especially those folks who don't own cars. I know there are opportunities like the WIOA-funded education, that's Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act money, through the Department of Labor, but I don't see effective promotion, effective bridging to programs like that. We do a better job connecting demographics such as children and immigrants, but with hospitals closing, we need to look at the effects of rural poverty, which I believe Lewiston is greatly affected by. And this is Miles, who says he's living in Biddeford but grew up in Lewiston. Brian, I'll let you address Miles's concern.
Yeah, no, that's good feedback. You know, the great thing about Lewiston is our diversity. And we have so many diverse populations and people and interests. And with that, there's also the challenge of addressing a wide variety of people with various needs and interests. And so we appreciate that feedback. And on the feedback piece, you know, I just want to say we are trying to be as accessible to the public and engage with the public as possible here with the city. You know, I do monthly city managers or city administrators town hall or town meeting events where anyone can come in and ask me anything they'd like, talk about anything. We're really trying to engage with the public, really have our ear to the street and really understand what are the challenges, what are the needs for our diverse population, and really try to address those and show that people are being heard, their voices matter. And I think that's gone a long way also. Accessibility from City Hall is hugely important. And so feedback like that, comments like that are really important. I want to just go back really quickly, if I could, to one of the previous callers who mentioned the river, which is sometimes overlooked. You know, the Androscoggin River is a huge piece of Lewiston. It's a huge piece of our history, and it's a huge asset for us. And, you know, Rachel's building, the Maine Mill, is right on the river. We also have a Riverfront Island Master Plan the city has been working on. Smart Payne Park on the river is undergoing a number of improvements right now, more to come in the future. We have a dock that the city has installed with from a private donor that's available on the riverfront. So we really sometimes overlook the value and the asset of Lewiston being on the river. And we have a whole number of amenities and opportunities that come with that. So don't overlook the river. I love the comments about the Androscoggin, and please come and see our downtown waterfront.
All right. And an email here from Maggie. Do the developers, arts organizations, and construction firms keep hiring and awarding of grants to Maine residents or award to the lowest bidder? Either Rachel or Simon, what do you want to say to Maggie?
Could you repeat that? Sorry.
Wants to know if the hiring and awarding of grants is going to Maine residents only or anybody who is the lowest bidder.
I would say, like on my project, most all of the workers and project teams are local Maine residents or Maine employers. Maine is a, you know, as a state, is a small town, and construction echoes within that. You know, we rely on partnerships, both business to business and also within our workforce. So of Hebert's 80 some odd employees, we all live within, you know, 20 minutes of downtown Lewiston. And a lot of our trade partners that are also based out of Lewiston Harbor have a similar employer demographic. And when we work on projects, we often run into where the architect is from Portland, the engineers are from Portland or Lewiston or Auburn, and everyone tends to be local. in that regard, and as well as the developers. Developers are Maine-based developers investing in their community.
Well, that's going to be our last question for the day. We're out of time. Thank you all so much for joining us. That was Simon Hebert, who's Chief Operating Officer for Hebert Construction. Brian Kainrath, Administrator for the City of Lewiston, was also with us for the hour. And Rachel Ferrante, Executive Director of the Maine Mill Museum. Its big grand reopening is this weekend. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.